They Think It's All Over, the Football Shirt Show, is proudly sponsored by grannysfootballstore.com, your one-stop website for amazing vintage football shirts at incredible prices.
Welcome to episode 106 of They Think It's All Over, the Football Shirt Show. Where does the time go? 106 episodes. Anyway, I'm Adrian Football Shirt Talia. Who's joining me this week?
It's Mike at Footy Shirts.
Scott at Flying Scotty.
And Adam at This One Kit.
So I didn't get that second one. Adam, Mike, who else is here?
It's a new guy.
Listen, I have a very busy professional life. I can't play with you guys all the time.
La-dee-da.
To see your moves
not
improves.
For long. You're going to be fucking sick of me. Once I get this new job, I'll be available every week.
House prices in Norwich have just crashed, Adam.
Well, I don't want to give too much away, but I don't think you're moving that close to me, are you?
We're living a little bit outside, yeah.
A little bit closer than what you were, though.
Yeah, and a damn sight cheaper to come visit you.
Anyway, Scott, what have you been up to? Because, you know, you've not been around for a while. You don't write. You don't return our calls. But I've seen you've got some new football shirts. So, you know, take us through some of those.
Yeah, I've been at work. I've actually had a very, nobody wants to hear my sob story, but yeah, I've had a very busy winter. As I told you, I picked up a second job. So it's all self-inflicted, but I've been away from home for a long time, been at sea. So sometimes the internet isn't great, or the privacy, because it's quite difficult to find privacy whilst on a ship in the middle of the sea with 60 other crew members. But yeah, I've been trying to post as much as I can. I've had a lot to print as well. And you know what I'm like? I like to wait till they're printed before I show them. Been a little bit Real Madrid themed. That's nothing to do with the fact that they beat them cunts across the road in sky blue.
But yeah, there we go. There's the C word back again. We've missed that. We've missed having that.
I've not listened to a word Scott said since you don't get much privacy at sea. My head's just completely gone with what he's what he's been trying to do in dark corners of his boat.
Well, nothing. Well, it's more embarrassing when you're telling them I'm recording a football shirt podcast. They're like, you fucking what? Oh, that is something that is quite funny, is that my work have fucking discovered. So I think somebody somewhere had said, oh, do you not have a podcast for football shirts? And I was like, yeah, I do. Because, you know, I'd been disappearing to do it when I could. And some cunt found the fucking name. Because I was like, I'm not telling you the name. And they managed to find it. And one of the boys had listened to a few episodes. And they were like, it's actually quite good. You know, it's quite interesting. I don't really know anything about football shirts. He goes, you do swear a lot, though. I was like, well, you have fucking met me. I was like, I don't change because I go on a podcast.
On your boat, was that Master Bates that found the podcast?
Yeah. How many more have you got to go?
I bet he's got loads more.
Has anybody bought any of the new international shirts? I managed to get a few cheeky discount codes. I've gone for two of them. Went long sleeve Germany home and obviously Portugal away, because I think that's the best out of a lot of them.
I still think the Norway home's the best. That's the one that I got out of them. And I did see that the name sets are being stocked by a UK seller. And there is a chance I might try and get one now. I did say to somebody who asked me if I'm going to put a name set on it, I said no. But yeah, I think I might now. I just need someone with a press who might do it for me. Anybody know anyone?
Well, I'll tell you right now, if you buy fucking Haaland, then I don't know anybody that'll do it for you.
I was going to ask, who is the name going to be, Mike?
Do you know what? It wouldn't be Haaland. I don't actually know. I'd like to see. I think it was Subside that have got the name sets in. I'd like to see what they got, because if I put a name set on a shirt, I do prefer something a little bit more obscure. So I wouldn't probably go for a Haaland or an Odegaard or anything like that. I'd probably go for someone I had to actually research and find out who they played for and so on, just because I like it to be a little bit different. But it does depend what they stock and how much they are and if I end up being asked to do it, but the shirt's still great anyway.
Hopefully your player research is better than your kit history research. I wouldn't want you to have like some player that's not really Norwegian on the back of your shirt or something like
Well, I'm not happy with that comment. However, with what I've got to come up today for kit history, you might have some sort of point to be made
that.
there.
Go there now. Go there now. Tell us. Come on. Come on.
Right. Well, so do you guys remember a little while ago, if I said to the name Juan Elodoy, would you remember who this was? Now you're all
Absolutely
looking.
not.
No. So this was the kit history that we did about the origins of the Athletic Bilbao kit, the red and white stripes, and when they switched to it in sort of like early 1900s. I can't remember the year off the top of my head. And so the story went was that this guy Juan, he was sent over to the UK to find some blue and white halved shirts, and he was going to be getting some sort of Blackburn shirt or from the same supplier, but he couldn't get them. And because he was in Southampton, he picked up some red and white Southampton shirts whilst he was there and took them back to Spain. They loved them. And so the story goes, because mattresses in the region were made out of red and white striped fabric, it became really easy to then make the kit. That was the kit history we did. And then I was clearing up our emails the other day because we, in all honesty, we get quite a lot from all different people. And I actually found one that dropped into the spam. So if these guys listen, I'd really, really like to hear from them again because I have dropped them an email back. And it was from somebody from, and bear with me, I'm going to just pull the email up to make absolutely sure I get the name of these people right. So they are the Bilbao Black Cats. So they are a Sunderland fan group based in Bilbao. And they've emailed us an alternative story to the history of the Bilbao kit and their version of things. Yeah, I'm sure that I'm amazed this is the first time this has happened, if I'm honest with you. But their version of events is basically that, but the in its early years, Bilbao had a lot of Sunderland roots with former players. I believe one of the guys who went on to become president of Bilbao was also a former Sunderland player, a Sunderland man. And their story is that the guy who was sent to the UK was actually sent over specifically to get a Sunderland kit to take back, which obviously is very different from the story of just happening to be in Southampton and just happening to pick up a red and white kit. So their claim to it, and this comes from a few historians based in the area as well, about Bilbao, so it's not just completely unfounded. So that, yeah, they're basically saying that the Bilbao's first kit was in fact a Sunderland kit, and that Sunderland kit then went on to also be one of the first red and white striped Atletico Madrid shirts. So their claim is that red and white stripes were basically taken to Spain by Sunderland. So what I've done is I've emailed those guys back. And as I say, I don't know if they listen or just follow us on the socials and that's where they got our email from. But I have gone back to them and I'm going to try and get hold of them and speak to these guys and the historian involved. And it's going to be a kit history deep dive. I never thought we'd do that. Usually they take about 60 seconds and then we move on before anyone tells us they're shit. But this time, yeah, I think we're actually going to deep dive on the kit history and try and speak to somebody who actually knows what they're talking about.
So you mean we're not just going to look at Wikipedia and read that word for word and claim that we're experts? We're actually going to get genuine information.
I only use Wikipedia as a secondary source for my kit histories, I think you'll find.
I've heard the theme tune. I know how it works.
Yeah, okay. There may be a little bit of Wikipedia, but hey, it's there. It's easy. But no, genuinely, I think this one could be quite interesting. So I'm going to hopefully get hold of the guys from the Bilbao Black Cats, and maybe we'll see if we can get them to either come on the pod, have a little bit of a chat about it, and clear this up.
But after 106 episodes, we might actually have a factual kit history, not just some shite you've made up that we're all meant to believe.
Right. I would just like to say now, none of the kit histories. Do you know what I'm going to do? Right. I'll tell you what, you think I fucking make them up. I'm going to come back next week and I am going to make a couple up and I'm going to put a real one in there. And then I'm going to see if you can figure out which is the real one.
Well, if you make all three options that you don't know where the color came from, it would be impossible to tell which one was the
I will admit that some of them have been hazy at best, but some of them are also extremely factual.
So there we go. Next week we're going to have blankety blank kit history. I like the sound of that. I like the sound of that. It'd be a fun little game. tie in with that, Mike, we've also got Christopher Evans, who's just released a book about Athletic Club Bilbao, lined up to come into the feature as well. So perhaps we can tie those two episodes together and have a bit of a Spanish Cup theme to it. Sounds fun.
Be good. Don't think we haven't done a Spanish team themed episode yet, have we?
I don't think we have. So. We've got a long list of wish list of guests and clubs and things we want to do. And yeah, when you start getting through that. But shall we move on to some news? So a few bits of news this week. I think we don't normally do leaks, do we? But it's been some good leaks. There's good new releases. I'm going to give you carte blanche. Who wants to go first? Who wants to tell me? It's just something that's caught their eye in the last few days.
My one's quick, so I'll go first. I think Kappa have always been, they've been really good recently. There's always been a few eye-catching, you know, the Venezia stuff. But Club Deportivo Ibiza have released a new shirt, which is a very classical, chunky white collar with a red, kind of red and a mixture of red colours, isn't it? It's not all one colour. Floral pattern. I think that's a belter. Pattern all the way through. Very cool shirt.
Yeah, I like it. From a bit more of a distance, when you first glance at the picture, you can't necessarily see that it's floral or flowers within the design of the shirt. And you guys might be able to help me. It reminds me of some sort of early 90s shirt. And I can't think for the life of me what one it is. I don't know if part of it might be, is it the Bilbao again that had the ketchup splatter ketchup shirt? Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit of that in there. But if anyone else can help me, even if it's not you guys, there is definitely an early 90s shirt that just, yeah, it brings back memories of that. But I just can't, it is on the edge of my brain, but I can't quite think what it is. But I like it though, it's cool.
And this isn't the first time they've released a great shirt as well. Does everybody remember their third shirt that was made by Hummel that had that big, massive DJ on it?
Oh, they looked like a dance nightclub type.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of a purpley one, wasn't it? Maybe like dark blue sleeves. And yeah, it was almost quite heavenly DJ style, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a very cool shirt as well.
Yeah, I hated that one.
I've got it, so fuck you both.
I got him right now.
What now? What now?
The shirt looks a bit like Adam with the headphones on and...
You know people can't see
it. It actually does, though. It does.
Is it my bright orange headphones I've got and the glowing microphone?
Yeah, great spot that, Scott. Great spot, being very popular on the socials. And now we can share it again because we can share the other shirt we didn't know was them. So, well done.
I got some news as well. I'm going to go with a new release. And it's the Freiburg one. Did anybody see this? It was an anniversary shirt that they dropped at the weekend. I believe they worn it. We'll brush over that because can't remember now. But it's a really, really smart kit. It's all nice and straightforward. It's a red and white striped Nike kit. Nice little detail saying 120 Jahr on it. Obviously German for year for anybody who doesn't speak. But for me, the favorite thing of the shirt for me was actually the numbers on the back, because it was just that proper old 90s blocky 3D style numbering. It looked incredibly cool. Anybody see the shirt before I ask the next question? Was it a good one? Scott's saying, yeah. He likes an anniversary shirt, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think the shirt was a bit boring, but the details were amazing. Like how they took an element of the badge into the 120-year patch. And then, I don't know what it was. I mean, I didn't research the shirt, but it's like the pine. Is it a pine forest?
Yeah,
that was very cool as well. Nice little detail on the back of the shirt.
Yeah, it was like a shadow along the bottom, wasn't it? Looked really good. But I've got a question for you on this one. So it seems quite popular in Germany to do this, but this is a 120-year anniversary shirt. Do we think that 120 years is an anniversary that we should be celebrating? Or should we really be just doing 75, 100, 125, or as Villa are going to be, 150?
I don't really know, to be honest. Yeah, it's a weird one. It actually, this is a slightly going off topic. But there was a shop in Norwich that put up a great big celebration mural on their wall to celebrate their 89th anniversary. And I thought that was weird. That really weird. It's like, what's about 89? What's the deal with that? But I guess maybe it's one of those things that in Germany, 120 years is important. Obviously, over here, Liverpool had a 125th anniversary shirt. I've not seen 120 over here, but it has happened in Germany. So maybe they just like that number and it means more to them.
I'm kind of torn with this one because if I don't say yes, you can have one. It makes my entire AIK collection fucking obsolete because they're doing 132 and 33. But then, I mean, I think some people tend to go with anniversaries are almost related to weddings, aren't they? So you doing they have like 10, 20 that, you know, they have the diamond and whatever. So I don't
well,
know.
What's 120 then?
Yeah, I'm not sure anybody's ever
you're married
made
that, for
that
but... long. You're in trouble, I think.
Yeah, but I suppose you could just make it an anniversary for whatever you want. Like you said, I mean, the 89th anniversary was still their 89th anniversary. Is it worth releasing a shirt over? I don't know.
It's an excuse for a new shirt, though, isn't it? And I'm a man who's one of the most recent shirts is the 110th anniversary for Versus and Teller, which, you know, not really a big number. And didn't Kappa, isn't their gold shirt this year, 130th anniversary shirt as well, which again, probably one of those numbers that you wouldn't immediately lean on.
Don't know. I know Bayern had their 90th anniversary shirt as well, which is obviously a difficult shirt to get hold of. So maybe it is just it could possibly be a German thing that the 90th and the 120, because again, Bayern did a 120, but they didn't do a centenary shirt. So yeah, maybe it just kind of different countries celebrate different years.
I think football shirts at the moment are doing not too bad. If, you know, there's definitely a few releases that are coming out that feels like teams or brands are kind of jumping on the bandwagon. But I think for as long as Adidas keep releasing fucking colorways of this new Predator, football shirts are fine. So on the 10th colorway since fucking December. We're not even in May yet. And they've released 10 different colors of these boots. It's fucking mental.
Have you successfully got any of them yet via ProDirect?
Oh, not a single fucking one. Yeah, absolute. Well, to be fair, I bought the best. Mike will agree with me. The best pair was the actual anniversary pair, not the colorways they've released.
Speaking of Adidas, did anyone see? I would say it's a rumor because it was only reported by one source, but that Adidas might be returning to Liverpool. I think that's quite interesting. It was an account called, well, it was a person called John Rest working for Sport Business, who seemed to be a website that deal kind of exclusively in reporting things like sponsorships and the business side of sport. And they said from the 25-26 season that Adidas will be making Liverpool shirts. I think that's really big news because obviously Liverpool are made by Nike. Any switch from Nike to Adidas is going to be big news. But also, it feels like maybe Nike don't have as many big names compared to Adidas anyway at the moment. And this will be a big move to get a team like Liverpool, who, you know, are one of the biggest teams in the world. They are one of Nike's elite teams. That's big news, right? I think it's big news. I think it's exciting as well. As a Liverpool fan, we talked the other week about how certain clubs are connected to manufacturers and how Derby County feel like their move to Puma is almost like a reunion and it fits really well. And I feel that way about Adidas with Liverpool. It's very much Liverpool, Adidas go hand in hand. And if this is true, it'll be the third time they've been together. So yeah, I don't know what everyone else thinks, but I think that's big news in the kit world.
Yeah, I think this is big news for a few different things. One, because as you say, another one of those sort of like club technical sponsor links that it just kind of feels like it's right. I think everybody, if they had to say what they thought was Liverpool's main supplier, you automatically think Adidas. I think the other thing that's quite good about it is you would imagine if it is true that Liverpool would get a pretty substantial retro range like a lot of the clubs are getting. And that throws some incredible stuff up. And I know not everybody likes remakes, and I'm not even necessarily talking about the remake shirts. I'm talking more about some of the leisure wear and the jackets and all sorts they could throw out. But just one thing before I let Scott speak, because I know he's dying to say how shit Liverpool are. Everyone knows what it's like when you kind of fall into a Twitter hole and you click on a reply and you go to another tweet and you go to another reply and you end up... I ended up looking through a few, and apparently a few people have said that Nike are actually pulling back a little bit on their supply within football or soccer. So it does make me think that if Nike have announced that as a business plan strategically, that they are kind of pulling back a little bit within football, then it does kind of make sense that they're not necessarily going to push for the biggest contracts like Liverpool. So if there's a chance it's just going to go, maybe they've just let it go. And that's why Adidas are there.
In the report I read, it did say that they were still interested. It was actually between Adidas, Nike and Puma. And again, it's only this one source that have said it. So I'm taking it with a pinch of salt, even though they seem to be a reputable source. But they said they were still interested. The thing that I found interesting, aside from switching to Adidas, is that Nike had a weird deal with Liverpool anyway, in that they paid a base amount that was quite low, but then gave Liverpool a much higher percentage of shirt sales. So if that's true, that Adidas are coming in, because this deal seemed to work out really well for both parties. And I know that Liverpool have sold a lot of shirts and made a lot of money from this. Adidas must have come in with a really, really good deal. Or as you say, Mike, it might just be that Nike have gone, we did want this, but we're not going to pay as much as last time because we are scaling back. Either way, it's big news if it's true. So I guess we'll see what happens. But yeah, Liverpool go with Adidas for me. And as a Liverpool fan, I'm finding this quite exciting, because I think Nike have been okay, had some really good shirts. We've had some shit shirts as well. And it's only been, what, 4 seasons with them. So whereas I don't really think I can think of a bad Adidas shirt for Liverpool. So yeah, we'll see.
Well, first of all, we run a football shirt podcast, so we really should be interested in this type of news. But Adam, can I ask you, do you give a fuck who makes Man United or Everton shirts generally?
I would if they were shit, because I can imagine when Liverpool were made by Warrior, there was a lot of Man United fans kind of taking the piss. And I imagine if we signed a new deal with Castore, there might be some words said by you specifically. But yeah, in general, I guess not, to be honest. Although I did actually have this conversation with a friend the other day about sponsorships, and he was saying how one of his friends refused to buy JVC stuff because he was a Spurs fan. And obviously they sponsored Arsenal. And I realised that actually as a kid, the reason that I signed up with one particular mobile brand or mobile operator was because I refused to sign up to Vodafone, even though they had a better deal. So I don't know. I'm kind of petty like that. So maybe, yeah, no. I don't know.
So where I was going with that is not anything derogatory towards Liverpool, but just the fact that I would never buy a shirt. So I'm not really that bothered either way, just from a general interest point of view, because I would, but that's for most English teams. You know, I don't tend to branch out. But on a neutral note, I think it's very exciting. They definitely are the best manufacturer for Liverpool. You've got the history of back in the day when they weren't awful. And yeah, some really good shirts. The only thing you got to pray for is they don't come out with fucking shit like what AD's wearing right now, and then you'll be in trouble.
But I was about to say, what have you done with the real Scott? You've changed. That was balanced. That was nice. That was, you know, reflective, impartial.
It was nuanced.
And yeah, and then you've come out and you know, thrown stones at me wearing one of the shirts for you.
To be fair, Adrian,
that's a claim.
How the fuck is that shirt sold out? I can't believe it's sold out.
It's sold out at store and at Adidas. Yeah.
Mental.
Yeah, in the store and at Adidas, they had a combined 200 to sell. That's probably what it was. Yeah, it was actually probably really limited and nobody knew.
And I mean, I have the other Derby shirts as well, because I think it's, I like that they do it, but there's no fucking way I was paying £80 for that monstrosity.
£63 if you had your 15% discount voucher for Adidas. So there we go.
But yeah, exciting times, Adam. I think, like Mike said, the leisure wear is going to be really good, I would think. The throwback element, they could do so much with it.
And if the leak is to be confirmed soon about the new Liverpool home kit, I think it might be good that Nike might be on their way out, because I'm sure some people might like it, but that's a fucking shocking looking kit.
No, honest to God, that is one of the biggest messes of a football shirt I think I've ever seen. If you told me that Liverpool would have a new shirt with a deep red colour, yellow pinstripes, gold or yellow logos with a white sponsor and a collar inspired by the 81-84 home shirt, I'll be like, that is going to be an absolute winner. And somehow they've made one of the worst shirts. It's just a mess of a shirt. There's so much going on with it. And I think everyone's seen the leaks by now, so people listening to this will have an idea what it looks like. Yeah, if it is the last Nike home shirt, then yeah, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, is it a fuck you? Because they've gone with Adidas that I hear have this.
I'm sure not everybody's as spiteful as you, Scott, so possibly not.
Be a much better world if we were, wouldn't it?
Right, I can see Adam's distracted because football has kicked off. Is Everton against Liverpool? Has Everton scored?
Not sure yet.
Just whilst he's waiting for that, did anybody see, obviously, the Turkish football? I don't know if anybody knows, but Fenerbahce and Galatasaray have been head and head this year. And there was 2 points difference going into it at the weekend. And if Fenerbahce won, it stays tight. And in 2 weeks' time, Fenerbahce and Galatasaray actually play each other. And that game could have decided the league. And this week, they played Sivasspor away and were winning 2-1. And in the 95th minute, the referee gave, if you call it a soft penalty to Sivasspor, you would be being kind. It might be one of the softest penalties I've ever seen. And there were nearly fucking riots. There are Fenerbahce fans just telling the club to pull out of the league next year, just cause of corruption. It is insane. So if anybody doesn't, just start watching Turkish football because it is spicy as fuck.
And can we just a caveat from that, Mike? Let's have a small, quick discussion about how referees in general, whether it's corruption or not, are just fucking football at the moment. I mean, the three big events this weekend, you had the City-Chelsea game that wasn't a penalty, and then the exact same thing happened in the United-Coventry game, and it was a penalty. And then has anybody seen the Forest-Everton highlights?
Anthony Taylor, that's all I can say about that. Who is now going to be an English referee at the Euros, yeah?
I mean, Ash, I mean, you could say some of them were dubious, but not all. I mean, the third one, Ashley Young, fucking, he literally took the cunt out from the back. They're nowhere near the ball, and VAR were like, it's mental. It's absolutely mental. I don't understand has it always been this bad? Or is it just...
Do you know what I think it is? I think it's the overcomplication of the rules. When I was a kid, when I first started growing up watching football, my dad was a referee. I've been going to watch football for as long as I can remember. And it all started from going with my dad when he was a referee. And I used to go and watch, and he used to talk to me about the rules and so on. And the thing with offside is, yeah, they've changed it a lot over the years, but it used to be... There used to be more benefit given for a start. That's one of the problems. Like, so, and at one point they even changed it so the law said there had to be daylight between the attacking player and the defender for it to be offside. And then they started. But what they've done is they've just, with the introduction of VAR, what they've done is they've overcomplicated everything so much to the point where they're like, now if you are a millimeter offside, well, you're offside. Yeah, we get that if you're being like that, but there has to be some benefit of doubt within the game. And I just think that if you need to take that long and you need to draw little lines on the pitch like that, the player's fucking onside. It's as simple as that. But they're never going to do that because they want to get all the decisions right.
And the ultimate problem with VAR is that it's the stupid cunts that couldn't do the job on the pitch that are the ones sat in a room watching the TV. So it was never going to solve the problem because it's still the same idiots in charge.
I think there's almost two issues here. It's the issue of like fouls and things like that, and then offsides. When it comes to fouls, this season, they're doing this thing where they don't want to re-referee games, which is fine. But what it means is that there are decisions that where it looks like it could be a penalty or a foul, normally a penalty, and they're not saying anything about it because they don't want to re-referee the games. What is the point in that? Because we've seen it time and time again. Like the Nottingham Forest one is a perfect example. I would say out of the three penalties they could have had, two of them were absolutely nailed on penalties, really obvious ones, but they've gone, we don't want to re-referee the games, so we're not going to say anything. What's the point of it then? And then I also take your point, Mike. I completely agree. When it comes to offsides, if you're measuring by millimetres, the technology isn't there because you don't know exactly when someone kicked a ball because the frame rate can't be that high. So if you're measuring it and it's like a millimetre in, it's difficult, but just go with the on-field decision, because you can't measure it. Like if there's a clear, like, you know, like maybe like, I don't know, like 10 centimeters or something. But like, I know you're going to say, Scott, that Man United shouldn't have had the penalty against them anyway, which is a fair point. But if you're looking at the Coventry Man United game, how can you give that offside? I don't understand how you can do it.
I think, like you said, it's them making up for the non for the penalty that wasn't a penalty. That's what it screams of, doesn't it? You know, they've done the lines. They've, you know, the referee on the pitch was fucking dying to give it, and they've had a look. And like you said, Adam, I think there's an element of they don't want to drop their colleagues in it, so they're almost now reluctant to put somebody to the screen because it means the guy on the pitch is fucked up. And if they're doing it every second decision, somebody's going to be like, well, shit, these referees really don't know what they're doing.
The thing is, it doesn't seem to be the same. And AD, you watch more Italian football than any of us here. And I would just like to add, I did watch another 10 minutes of Italian football. The weekend just gone, so I'm over my quota for the season. But is it as bad over there? Because I watch a lot of German football and it doesn't seem so bad. I'm watching a bit of Turkish football where I can, it's difficult to watch. And that's a bit shady whether that's actually VAR or just something else going on. But yeah, it doesn't seem to be as bad in other leagues. So what's Serie A like?
It's shit everywhere. I mean, Roma got done a couple of months ago with an offside decision that was just ridiculous. And I won't say too much about it because it did happen to Juve, but at the beginning of the season, the VAR decision on screen computer actually missed a player that was on the bottom of the screen that was playing everybody onside. And they drew the lines and just the camera, because he was so far onto the byline, didn't include him in the shot, and the goal got disallowed. So it's got its pros as well as its cons.
The MLS horrendous as well. That, like, for how high profile, I remember even going back to the Beckham era when it started getting really, you know, a lot more publicity and was on the telly a lot more. I mean, you watch some of them things. They have ESPN FC, which is like a kind of Sky Sports version over there, and the ref watch that they used to do. You'd honestly wonder if those people were sane of mind. Some of the decisions that go on in the MLS, it's absolutely crazy. It's a pandemic. It's a refereeing pandemic. They're fucking ruining football.
The new COVID VAR. There we go. You heard it here first. That was a lot of fun, guys. I enjoyed it. I'm glad we managed to chat through a few bits. What we got coming up in future weeks?
Wow, we've obviously started the poll now for our next poll episode, which is the top 20 shirts, club shirts of the 90s. And yeah, the votes have already started coming in, which is pretty cool. That's good to see. And I did have an idea for an episode, actually, that I think we should do. But we got the Euros. It is a Euro, isn't it? Yeah, I had to check myself a little bit there. We got the Euros coming up soon. Obviously, the season's getting closer and closer. So I think this includes you, Scott, and we'll reciprocate by doing another top 11. I actually think we should do the they think it's all over best 11 England team of all time. And I know what Scott would say. So just because we've got to be inclusive, maybe we should all do a best England and a best Scotland 11. And then we'll put them out and we'll see who thinks is the better team, but it's going to be England, isn't it? But Scott, you're not allowed to get involved and just pick Beckham for every position.
But what about we don't do a best Scotland 11 because nobody will listen, and I just don't come to the best England 11. How about
No, because we got to have you involved because it'll be funny. Like I like the idea of you being in pain having to say who you think is the best England player in each position as we go through. I think we should do that. It's in a few weeks' time when we're closer to the end of the season and start building up ready for the Euros.
I'm not
That's
doing
what I
any.
said.
So all my best 11 are going to come from when I started watching football in the Premier League, which was like 1996. There'll be nobody but previous to
Still
pretty
works.
sharp on the left wing then. Fine.
And I got one more thing I'd like to mention anyway. Obviously, we'd have already played the actual advert for our wonderful sponsor, Granny. But just another thing, he has been confirmed as the first seller at the Retro Football Fair in London, which this year is going to be on the 23rd of, let me just check the date. What is it? January, February, March, April, May, June. I have to do that on my fingers every time. The 23rd of June at the Big Penny Social in London. So yeah, Granny will be there. So if that's kind of like around your area and you want to go along, we have officially been invited along to the event. And I know I'm going to be doing my best to see if I can get along. So hopefully we might even make an appearance there. We'll see, eh?
Yeah, I think we're going to be selling tickets as well, aren't we? So if people want to come through our Twitter and socials, we'll be selling tickets for that event as well.
Yeah, that's right. Tom has asked us if we would like to help distribute some of the tickets. So it makes sense. Whether we can be there in a TTK AO capacity or not, I don't know because of the logistics of getting everybody there. But if we can, I think I'm definitely going to get along. Hopefully a couple of you other boys will get along. If we can do something for the pod, then we will. But we'll definitely give the tickets a little push. But so just go to footballfair.co.uk at the moment if you want to have a look at what it's all about. And then, yeah, we'll give you more info on it soon.
Sounds brilliant. In that case, draws a close another week. I'll see you gentlemen, same time, same place next week. They think it's all over.
God, he's talking to you.
For the benefit of our audio listeners, he has just raised his middle finger. It is now.
Fucking Everton.
Locks going out with a bang.